Welcome to the podcast for the table at Central United Methodist Church. Our podcast weaves together a taste of the music that we experience here in worship on Sunday mornings, along with the scripture reading and a message. We would love for you to take a next step in growing in faith in our community. If that means you are here in Sacramento, to join us for worship at 9:30 or 11 in the morning at 5265 H Street, or if you're one of the many people who connects with our podcast from around other parts of the state or even the country, we would invite you to take a next step on our website by making a deep commitment to our community of faith or learning more about growing in faith at the table.
Love came down at Christmas. Love, all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas.
Scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, the second chapter, the 22nd through the 40th verse. And here begins the reading of God's word. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people, Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and the sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage. Then as a widow to the age of 84, she never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Amen.
Mary, full of grace, the Lord your God is with thee. Blessed are you to bless all the world. Mary, peace is yours, the Spirit is upon you. You will be with child, do not fear. Mother of God, your baby boy will grant us peace. Your baby boy will grant us peace.
Expression of your hope now and always. Amen. The sanctuary was filling up for the 5 p.m. candlelight Christmas Eve service. Our phenomenal hospitality team, actually around 4:45, they had to scurry around to find chairs to bring them in. We had chairs lining up the back and along the side, and we had to move all the prayer stations so that people could just find a seat just a few minutes before 5 o'clock. And I don't often slow down to kind of breathe in the beauty of those moments. That's not one of my strengths.
Not at all.
Not even close to one of my strengths. But I found myself at that moment, about 10 till our worship service on Candlelight Christmas Eve, going outside and just feeling the beauty of this space. It was 8 years ago that Bishop Brown, who is with us now, appointed Linda to come to this church that had declined and grown weary. Faithful people that believe God had something big in store for them, but they were able to get in two cars 8 years ago on Christmas Eve and go to another United Methodist church just down the street because we didn't have enough people to host Christmas Eve worship ourselves. And so just holding that movement was pretty amazing. And as I was out there, there was a grandpa. He's recently retired, and this is not his church home, but his children and grandchildren make this their home. And he was pacing, which is one of my gifts. Pacing is one of my gifts.
Also
he
true.
He was pacing out in the front. And so I went over to ask him how he was doing, if everything was okay. And he was worried because his children and grandchildren hadn't arrived yet. And he was pretty certain they weren't going to sit next to each other. But at this point, he was just concerned whether they were going to make it to worship. And there was something beautiful about his anxiety. And I don't know how well he was able to articulate his love for his children and grandchildren that night, but you could just see it in his body. And beneath this kind of gruff exterior was just this deep love, a person whose heart, you might say, has been pierced by the love of God for the world and for his children and grandchildren.
About that same time, a grandmother who does make this her church home got up from up here in the front and made her way to the back of the crowded sanctuary to make absolutely certain that her grandkids who had come here from the Bay Area, to make certain that they would have their very own candles that we hold when we sing Silent Night on Christmas Eve. Everything, as I watched her move to the back of the sanctuary to make sure of this. Everything about her face expressed hope and intimacy and gratitude. You know, she's an octogenarian. So she has been among us. She has journeyed through life's beauty and challenges. Anxiety is not on her menu in life. And she was just holding the hopes and fears of so many years on that Sunday night that she was able to welcome her children into this place that she calls home and into the mystery of our stunning lights and candles and to celebrate love coming down at Christmas.
There's a United Methodist pastor and theologian. His name is James Howell, and he writes about it like this. Jesus was just a baby. And this is God's shrewdest device. As Martin Luther put it, God became small for us in Christ, showing us God's heart so our hearts might be one. Infants wield a kind of power. Muscular men with calloused hands become gentle as pillows when handed a baby. Potent people with gruff voices adopt a falsetto and coo to an infant. God came down not to thrash evildoers or crush the Romans, but as an infant to elicit love to nurture tenderness.
You know, most of the world has already moved on from Christmas. This is the next big party, New Year's Eve. But really, the 12 days of Christmas begins after Christmas, right? And we are in the season in the church called Christmas. And our reading on this first Sunday after Christmas Day invites us into a deeper place of the early days of God coming into the world as an infant. Jesus' parents are doing what we heard Chris read, what we call staying in love with God today in our community, by practicing spiritual disciplines. And what they were doing was bringing their infant child to the temple to fulfill a purifying ritual. And the scene is focusing our attention not just on them, but on two elders. And their names are Simeon and Anna.
Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel.
I wonder if he was pacing. I don't know. We're told he had been waiting his whole life for this moment. I wonder if he was actually even confident, though, by this time. Would he recognize the moment when it was going to happen? I wonder if he had had similar feelings rise within him as, like, other parents brought their children to the temple. Or was there on this day something different about this moment for him?
There was also a prophet, Anna, looking for the redemption of Jerusalem.
I really wonder what it was like for Anna to wait there in the temple. I wonder how frail her body had become over the many years. In my mind, she has her hand in the small of her back as she moves slowly about the stone floors. I wonder if she was worried about her balance or if she was at this time in her life mostly staying seated and focusing solely on the infant, which elicited love and nurtured tenderness right before her eyes. I wonder what it was like for the two of them, Simeon and Anna, to recognize the beauty of God coming in an infant. I'm aware so often of how much I overlook God right in front of me. So I wonder what it was like for them.
Again, Pastor James Howell writes, we do not like to wait. We want to move. We want to fill the time, stay in control, rush to the next titillation. And in our inability to be still and know that God is God, we miss God.
There is a person among us, Jim, who is one of the faithful elders who has watched over this church community for many, many, many years. He was here this week cleaning on Tuesday after we hosted the unhoused guests for Winter Sanctuary. And Matt was able to ask him a few questions. Jim is talking about a time way before the table, more like 24 years ago, really, where he shares how things were. Let's watch.
Signs of God that you were seeing, what were some of those? I guess, I mean, there were signs, whether I recognized them as such, I don't know. But I always never really gave up hope. Sometimes if we might have contact with another church community, I sort of realized that we're not so bad off after all. So I recognize the dilemma. Mm.
Holding hope in the midst of the dilemma. Both Simeon and Anna spent their days at the temple. It's in the temple that they practice their spiritual disciplines to stay in love with God, just like we do here at the table. But on this day in those ancient times, after long lives rooted in these very pious Jewish disciplines, I believe God presented them a choice. Would they keep at it, stay with those disciplines, or recognize the Savior? And it's always, I think, a bit easier when you look back. It seems obvious that there wasn't a choice. But if you're really in the midst of life, that's not really the case. It's hard to believe that this little family at the temple would have even been noteworthy to these two well-known prophets. And the main reason, I think, is because of their obvious poverty. Mary and Joseph bring their sacrifice. We heard Chris read about that. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And that's our clue. See, if they were not poor, their sacrifice would have been a whole lamb. So I wonder if Simeon and Anna figured it out right away, or were their eyes fixed with their preconceived notions on the line of the people bringing the lambs? Because you wouldn't expect a savior to come from the line of poverty. Did it take a little extra time to recognize Jesus as the hope of Israel? As faithful as they were, would it have surprised even them that he came in poverty? Having kept watch and living devout lives for whatever reason, on this day they recognized Jesus as the savior.
There are faithful Simeons and Annas in every generation, and one of the Annas in our community is Rosemarie. And I was able to pause for just a moment on Tuesday and stop her in between taking out the trash and vacuuming. Rosemarie grew up, and this has been her church home for her entire life. And so let's watch as she reflects just a little bit on this experience.
I wonder what the little girls told the builders who constructed the temple in which Anna made her home. It's a reminder that this story we encounter this morning is a Jewish story. It's a story deeply rooted in the piety of the Jewish people and of their history and of their life together, rooted in the obligations of following the ancient law. And also rooted in the long-suffering hopes of two patient characters who made that sanctuary their home. In Luke's version, Jesus comes to a world that is eagerly longing for him and awaiting him. And this, I think, is the case for Anna and Simeon, and it's the case for every new generation. We long and hope for strong and beautiful leaders, a world and a people that waits to see what God is going to do. And Luke, the Gospel of Luke, recognizes Jesus as the answer to what God is going to do. He recognizes Jesus as God's yes to all of the long-standing promises to the people of Israel. Anna doesn't really speak here. In this passage, it's the narrator speaking for us and telling us what she's saying. And what it tells us is that she's claiming that Jesus is the child who's going to be the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon and Anna that day chose to go all in with God's love, which had come down to them right in front of them. And they knew this decision would have consequences, because we heard that too. They could see it in the child's face that some were going to oppose the love, and the inner thoughts of many would be revealed in the unfolding of love's witness here on earth.
And this is the case in every generation. Jim was able to pause for a moment and reflect on Tuesday about what it was like for one of the moments a number of decades ago here in this community when they were forced to make some choices about what it meant to go all in for love. So here's Jim.
Was doing the right thing. Risks involve and prices to be paid. The risks we lean into as followers of Jesus take us into many dangerous edges. Dangerous because the love that is required of us often feels right, but it leads us to take risks on behalf of all of God's people.
Simeon tells the young parents that day, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed."
I want us to notice the order. In the world, it's rise and fall, right? The rise and fall of the Third Reich. That's like a common phrase we hear, and it's what happened. The rise and fall of the business tycoon. The rise and fall of a movie star. This year, it's the rise and fall of so many male politicians, right? But with Jesus, it's fall and rise. We fall into death and rise with Jesus into life. And this was true for Simeon and Anna. And it's also true for every generation. If only we have the eyes to see redemption right in front of us.
Like right here at the table where every single week Eric and a few others show up to tend to the lawn, there is a space right outside of us that we are dreaming about turning into a beautiful outdoor sanctuary. But Eric and others show up faithfully every week to mow a lawn and to try to make sure that this grass that has died can look just as beautiful as it can, knowing that it will all fall and rise into a new outdoor sanctuary in the months and year ahead.
It makes me think of all of the committed ones who quietly work behind the scenes here to prepare the space for all of us. Jimmy and Stephen and others, whether it's on a Sunday morning. I mean, it's noticeable that there are no candles and no sand and no cushions and, right? Or whether they prepare the whole of the space for unhoused guests for overnight sleeps. Never certain if this duct taped together facility is going to quite be as up to the task of welcoming people as they are.
Or the brave folks that have gathered here at the table and had to die to the parts of themselves that were afraid, claiming being a spiritual leader, so that they could rise into learning how to watch over one another in love in this very space.
We had also, and we have, these concerned people among us, concerned that others might be able to make their home here in Sacramento. There are a really eclectic band of people. I call them the make it happen folks. They're the kinds of people who have come together to welcome refugee families here into Sacramento from Iraq, from Afghanistan. Those are families who long to live into God's future for them. And what has happened is that for some among us, we have had to die to the process of being the savior in ministry to the poor as we rise into the messiness and the vulnerability and the understanding of a life and a ministry with the poor and the refugee.
Anna and Simeon find the courage and the confidence to go all in on an infant who will grow into adulthood with God to transform the world. It will obviously take time as this child grows in wisdom, is cared for and nurtured by his parents, and then learns to search Scripture himself, that he could teach us to search Scripture in ways that turn God's world upside down. This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed.
So holding this ancient story of Anna and Simeon, and under the acknowledgement that we have the Jims and the Rosemaries that came before us, but there are others that came before them, and that we are becoming those that will be the befores for the generations that come after us, I want to offer these words of blessing written by a poet, Steve Garnes Holmes, whom we know and love. Not the rise and fall, like empires that come and go, but falling and rising, death and resurrection. Not an idol worshipped, but a sign opposed. Not an inspiring thought, but our own revealed. God, transform our inner thoughts and give us courage, accompanied by the divine child, so that we might die and be raised to enter this path of hard choices before us with love and with grace, to enter this new year ready to become new persons. Loving God, you have changed what we are waiting for and how. So enlarge our hopes, increase our horizons, and give us both the courage of deeper longings and the peace of deeper trust. Let the people say amen.
Amen.
Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere.